like to say that love is in the middle of a giant iOS update right now.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchick.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Before we get into this episode, a quick word from our sponsors that make it possible. Do you want to be transported back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I certainly do. Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer, bottled with all-natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. And it's not just about that elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. I've said it before, but I love this product. It feels like I am going to a spa every night, and it delivers that coveted post-vacation glow like you just returned from a tropical getaway. Right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Hey, do you ever look at your closet and think you have nothing to wear? Or is it just me? It's not just me, right? This is why I can't believe I didn't discover Armoire clothing rentals earlier. With an Armoire membership, I can now build the perfect wardrobe with high-quality brands that I wouldn't normally think I could afford, such as Philip Lim, Monique Lhuillier, and Marnie. Doesn't it just sound fancy? To get started, all you have to do is take a five-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, boom, swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I recently rented a pale lime green leather blazer from Alice and Olivia. You may have seen it on our Instagram stories. I am obsessed. It's so perfect. If you're like me who doesn't want to spend all that time putting together a look, but also loves looking stylish. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/dateable. That is armoire.style. That's spelled armoire.style. /dateable to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Hi, friends.
Welcome to Dateable.
We are back.
We are.
Of course, we've been alluding to this episode for a while. The Astro Twins, they're astrologers, and they think there are all these, well, not that they think, they know there are all these planetary movements that do affect our love lives directly. How crazy is that to think about?
It is. And I feel like, Yue, you're a little more woo-woo than I am.
But in that stuff.
In that stuff. Maybe in other ways. But I really like related to this episode. Like, it's interesting to hear a different take of a lot of the same stuff that we're experiencing in the world of modern dating that you all are going through. And at the core of it, we want to get into, like, can you predict your love life? Can you use what's going on to understand how it can serve you best? And is this actually a good thing? Can you use this knowledge for power?
I think about that with all my relationships that have ended. If I could predict the ending of all those relationships, would I have entered into those relationships in the first place? I think about that so much. And I don't know, because I learned so much in each one. And maybe even not the relationships, just the process of dating. If I knew the end result, would I have enjoyed the process and learned as much?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're going to go into it in the episode with the even the way they look at it. It's not like a literal, like, you guys are going to break up in a month.
Right,
like,
right.
It's not like that. So I agree with that. I don't know if I'd want to know that. I think, like, in theory, maybe I would say yes, because I wouldn't waste my time. But I also feel like then you're never, like, setting up the relationship for any sort of learning and for any self-growth. Like, it just feels like an unnatural way to go through dating, too. Like, I feel like you kind of need to have that feeling of, like, not being able to control to start to, like, you know, grow as a person.
Do you remember there was this Black Mirror episode called something the DJ. I need to look it up.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Something with a DJ. And the idea is you go on a first date with someone. You both wear these watches.
Yes.
And when you get on the first date, you look at your watch and it's going to tell you how long you're going to last with this person.
Yes.
And then all of your behavior is dependent on looking at this watch. And that episode was so eye-opening to me because, you know, people really acted differently. If they knew they had a year with someone, they really took their time to get to know each other and get deeper with each other. And if they saw that they only had like 24 hours, they just go fuck right away. Like, get it out of the way.
It's just like thinking if that was modern day, they like how different it would be, right?
I know. Yeah.
Imagine, like, that's so anti how we go into everything. Like, everything is so unknown. And I think the unknown gives people a lot of anxiety.
Yes.
Like, I actually look back of like what it was about dating that gave me anxiety. And honestly, I'll still say even in relationships, I have anxiety. I don't want to say it's gone completely. And it is the fear of the unknown. Even when you're like settled with someone, you don't truly know what's going to happen in life. And some of that's just life. And like, I think it's like a good catalyst of learning to let go is important just in all of life. But with romantic partners, I feel like because it's closer to the heart, it hits you.
Yeah, I know. And that episode was called Hang the DJ.
Hang the DJ. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Season 4, Black Mirror. I want to rewatch it. But if there's a difference, like Julie, if someone said you and your partner are not going to make it for the long haul versus in the next 3 months, you're going to feel conflict around the concept of XYZ, which one would you rather hear?
I think, though, this is where it's like, because this is so not the norm of dating, like, I would be skeptical if someone's like, you guys are not going to make it in 3 months. Like, right, I'd be like, who are you to tell me that? How do you know that?
Yeah.
So I don't think I would like necessarily believe it. But I think understanding the conflict and like, we're going to go into this way in this episode. But I think the way the Astro Twins phrase, like how to like think about like what's to come for you, it was super helpful to like know some of this of like, I was actually on the edit re-listening, and actually something I'm going through currently was what they had shared about like how, you know, something that you have to like overcome on your own to move you in the right direction. So I think actually knowing like what conflict was going to come up in 3 months would be super helpful because that would give you a way to approach it. But just knowing like you're going to break up in 3 months, like I don't know if I would trust that.
And it does become a self-fulfilling prophecy, even if you don't believe it. Just having that planted as a seed in your mind, you might be thinking, well, okay, well, we're done. Like after a fight, you're like, oh, well, this was going to be done in 3 months anyway.
And then if someone told you like you're going to be married and ultimately together, a fight would come up and you're like, oh, we'll get through it.
Yeah. Or you get into a really bad fight and your partner shows a side of him that is totally opposing your values, but you know that you're going to get married, you know, for the long term. You're like, oh, okay, I can let that go because he's going to be my partner for life. Like you might talk yourself out of some things too.
Yeah. Would you want to know? I guess like what level of information do you feel like is helpful versus harmful?
For example, that last relationship, 5 years. And some infidelity. If I had known in the beginning that someone was like, oh, your relationship is going to end in him cheating on you, I would not enter into that relationship.
Right.
I don't want to put myself through that. But I'm glad I didn't know because I learned so much about myself, about relationships, about love in those 5 years. So I guess the point is, it's not how it ended. It's more the process, the journey along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I truly believe if I didn't have my last relationship, I wouldn't be set up for the current one.
Right. Right. Or have Dateable. Honestly.
Probably not. I just, exactly. And if you didn't have any, that's a really good point. It's like, if you didn't have any experiences, I really think like the pain and the heartbreak that we go through makes us appreciate the partner that we end up with eventually. But also it's what is the catalyst for the growth. Like I would never have even gone to therapy if I didn't have that.
Right. Right. Yes. So what I appreciate about the Astro Twins is that it's not about predicting the end of any anything. It's about knowing that in the coming months with Mercury in retrograde, with the solar eclipse, you know, like with all of these planetary shifts, these are things that may be happening to you or within you or in your relationship. And here are some ways to deal with that based on your sign.
Yeah, I'll admit, I feel like I was surprised that maybe one of our, you know, because we think of the astrotrads, they are experts in astrology, not dating.
Yeah.
But when they drop some stuff about modern dating, I was like, you all said it the way that we've been like trying to articulate things for a long time that's so aligned with everything that's going on. And it was amazing hearing it from that perspective. So even if you're like, I don't need to know what's happening, I don't need to know what's going on for me, this episode is so interesting of just like the shifts that are going on in modern dating as a whole. And we believe, you know, that's why we do this podcast. Like, understanding what's going on in the world allows you to figure out how to make it work for you.
This is going to be an episode you'll all want to share with your friends who are also going through the trenches of dating. Trust us, it's going to make you feel like there are changes happening, not just to you, but in modern dating in general. You're going to walk away from this episode feeling super empowered and knowing that you have control over how you ride out this wave of change. And they talk about the age of Aquarius and how there's this huge paradigm shift. I truly feel like you're going to come out and be like, yes, I'm like ready to embrace this change. So get ready to share this with your friends. The share button is, you know, the arrow.
Yeah. 3D, 5D relationships. That wasn't like terms that we like use on this podcast a lot, but all made so much sense. We talked about trad wives.
Not a term I was ever exposed to. I had to look it up in the middle of our recording, and I'm so glad I did. I guess it's like a TikTok trend.
Yeah. I saw this on TikTok after as well.
I guess it just never registered to me this is like a term, but it typically denotes a woman who believes in and practices traditional sex roles and marriages.
Yeah.
Like a traditional wife.
Yeah. And I think like the context that we'll go into is just like how we're on the verge of such a different look into relationships. And this is, again, in line with what we've been saying, the DIY concept of create the relationship that works for you. You don't need to, you know, succumb to how you think a relationship should work or how dating should work. We have thrown all these shoulds. And I loved how they were just able to give another perspective that kind of confirmed this is where we're going.
Right. And we go through each and every sign.
Yep. We don't forget about that. Don't you worry.
No, you will listen. You will hear your sign and what to expect this year. But if you're dating someone or thinking about someone, before you enter into this conversation we're about to have with them, make sure you know what their sign is. Okay. Just be prepared because you're going to listen for that.
I feel like astrology has like made a comeback. Like, I know it's always been a big thing, but like you always see, I don't know, I'm like kind of embarrassed to admit this, but I've been really binging the show Summer House lately. Bravo. Have you ever seen that show?
How did you and I switch roles in the last few years? I do not even know. I used to be the reality TV junkie, and now you are the junkie. You are addicted.
Anyways, there's like this one girl on the show that's like obsessed with astrology. Like, as soon as she meets you, she's like, I'm a Taurus. This is like how I am. Or you're a Sag. Like, this is your background. And it's just an interesting thing to me because I'm like, I love astrology. Don't get me wrong. I really love it. Like, I love understanding like what personality traits like align with my sign. But I'm not sure if I'm at the point of like, it's the first thing I do as soon as I meet you. We're only going to be friends if we're aligned. Or like, I want to like get to know the person still a little as a person.
Yes. I mean, I get it. I think astrology is sort of like a new religion.
Yeah.
You know, and people think it gives them direction and guidance. I think why it's becoming more mainstream these days is because astrology is being talked about in a different way. It used to be about what's going to happen to you. And now astrology, we're relating it back to ourselves and knowing our signs, what is in our control for change. And I think that's probably why it's gaining so much traction, because now it's like, okay, we can harness the knowledge we know about our signs to change our lives.
So it's more like now on the line of like personality tests and like yeah. love languages and like understanding yourself so you can like use that info to give to a relationship or have the right relationship or whatever, opposed to like the horoscope of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. I mean, yeah, even the personality test is a good example because, you know, before it was all about you're dating someone, they have this personality trait. Well, you're going to have to deal with it because that's who they are, you know, or for astrology, you look at your compatibility chart and you're like, okay, I'm not going to get along with a Taurus. But now the way astrology is talked about in relation to romantic relationships is knowing your partner is the sign. What are some ways that you two can work towards your goals together? Mm. That's a very different way of looking at it.
I think that's an enlightened way, but I'm not sure if that's how everyone's using it. Cause I do think that, like, I don't know, I was like listening to this podcast. I'm like blanking on which podcast it was. I can't remember, but it was like this guy just being like, my biggest turnoff is when a girl like sizes me up based on my size, comes in and being like, okay, so I know you're like a fuck boy because you're a Virgo. Uh-huh. I'm just making shit up, but you know, like. So I think like some people are doing it the way that you're proposing, but others maybe more on the like surface level.
Okay, well, bring them to this episode.
Yeah,
they'll have a more enlightened way of looking at astrology after listening to the Astro Twins. And I'm so happy because, you know, I say this on the episode too. It's like I've been following the Astro Twins for many years.
You were so excited. You were so excited when we got this email.
I remember because I was single and I was like going through some turmoil myself, and my friend Grace was also in the middle of some like dating crisis she was in, and she's like, you must follow the Astro Twins. They give the best astrology-based advice and predictions. So ever since then, I've been hooked.
They were just so charming and insightful and fun. Yeah. Yes, I feel like the laughter of this episode, like it's just a good time. So yeah, I'm really glad that we had them.
Me too.
Well, so much to dig into in this episode. Before we get into it, at Dateable Podcast, that's where you can find us on Instagram. Leave us a rating and review, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And UA and I also have something in the works that we're very, very excited about that we will be announcing in a couple weeks. We've heard you loud and clear on why it's so freaking hard to meet people nowadays. And it's not app related. We promise that. So we're excited about this. If you're interested in finding more, we will be revealing in the upcoming weeks. You can go to our website and get on our mailing list so you're first to know.
If you're that person right now who's thinking, wow, the weather's getting nicer, I want to get out there and start meeting people, where do I even start? How do I do it? You'll want to get on the mailing list.
Yes. So we'll leave it there.
Yes.
Cryptic, but exciting.
That's our middle name, Cryptic.
Okay. Well, before we get into it, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Viahemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Avia gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Avia also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Via Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viiahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Via Hemp. Okay, let's hear it from the Astro Twins.
Here's a big question. Can you predict the outcome of your love life? And if you could, what would you do with that information? I often think about that as I read your column in Elle, the Astro Twins. I swear you've predicted so much of my life for so long. It is such an honor to see both of your faces because honestly, like Elle horoscopes has been the Bible to me.
When we got this email from your team, UA was so excited. She like messaged me and was like, the Astro Twins just wrote us. Did you see the email? And I'm like, I didn't. I can't wait.
Awesome. The Astro Twins dog is barking here, so I better, mute that one. Sorry about
that. You know, if Astro Twins dog has predictions too, we love to hear.
We'll take them.
From your dog. That's
great. Oracles of all sorts.
Exactly. Don't discriminate. Yeah.
So who are these lovely women? The Astro Twins are American astrologers, authors, and featured astrology columnists for Elle.com, Refinery29, MindBodyGreen, and their own website, astrostyle.com. They are Ophira and Tali Adut, 51 years old, that they live in, well, Ophi, you live in New York, and Tali, you live in Seattle, originally from Detroit. Let's start with a big question. How were you able to discover your gift?
Wow. Well, since everyone knows our age now, no, just kidding. It's all out there in the public. That's 30 years of experience.
Yes, that's so, a spin.
We're seasoned stargazers. When we were 21, my college boyfriend got my chart done for me as a gift for my birthday. I knew I was a Sagittarius, but I didn't even really know what a chart was because it was the 90s and, you know, there was no internet yet, actually. Very barely, but not used by a lot of people. So I get this 30-page printout that's like, oh my God, how does this thing know everything about me?
Which, of course, I immediately tore from her hands to read for myself.
Of course. Because we're 4 minutes apart. So we essentially have the same chart. So that spawned an obsession because life is hard. Dating is hard. I don't have to tell you guys that. And it does need an instruction manual. And it comes with one. It doesn't mean that you can forecast everything that's going to happen. You do have free will. We'll get into that. But there's a lot that you can cut through with astrology.
So astrology and love, like they kind of go hand in hand. Like you were saying, it's more than just that. But for whatever reason, that's always what people like to turn to. Why do you think that's such like a pivotal aspect of astrology?
Yeah. And, you know, we should be honest here. Before, you know, her boyfriend did the chart for us, we had already been historically looking up the signs of people who we dated, which is how it often begins. Because sometimes the reason why someone doesn't reveal something about themselves is because of their sign. You know, like a Taurus might put it all out there on the first date and ask you to marry them on the third, whereas a Scorpio will give you mixed signals well into, you know, your sunset years. So, but astrology, I think dating naturally puts people in a state of anxiety and a state of uncertainty. And astrology gives you, at least some answers about why that person is doing what they're doing, not doing what they're doing. What does it really mean? It's a magic decoder ring that actually works for people's personalities.
A little bit of heartbreak insurance, you know?
Heartbreak insurance. Well, I mean, when we first started thinking about this topic, we were actually thinking about predictions that you would have for your love life. But then there's other aspect of this, which is understanding the personalities of all the different signs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just start there. Is there a sign that is more interested in their astrology when it comes to their love life? Like, is there one sign that's like, I always have to read my horoscopes?
I wouldn't necessarily say that one sign is, but there are a couple signs that tend to be a little more anxiety prone about dating.
Ooh, like Cancer.
Cancer. Yeah.
And Julie?
Virgo.
Yeah. Speaking as a Cancer, yes.
Yeah. I think a Cancer would be anxious about getting hurt or, ending up getting attached to someone too quickly. An Aquarius would be anxious about losing their freedom. And someone trying to suffocate them.
That's me.
I would say every sign has their own version of dating anxiety.
What is that? Like a, maybe like a quick elevator pitch of every sign and like, what is it that gets them in dating?
Oh, sure. Why not? That's a Aries. I think it's like, are they right for me? Because it's all about for Aries. It's like, are you good enough for me? You know?
Right. Yeah. Taurus, it's like are they marriage material? Taurus is like to invest. So like, is it worth investing? You know, I mean, they'll still sleep with you, but they'll, you know, are you their future forever person?
Mm-hmm. So I think Gemini looks it up just to have something to text about. You know, they just like conversational, like, oh, so you're this, and have you done your big three? And da da da. You know, they're going to send you a link to do your whole chart, and you haven't even met yet. So,
are they anxious at all?
Yes. Oh, they're so. The Gemini is one of the most anxious signs, trying to pretend they're not, and they mitigate it by talking to multiple people at once until they've settled on one, and sometimes after.
Yeah, they might have a saved like note in their phone that has like all the links that they're going to send the five people they're texting simultaneously. Yeah.
Wow.
Cancers, though, it is definitely heartbreak insurance. It's like, I don't think I'll really want to open up to you, but just in case I do one day, who are you? You know?
I think the anxiety is like literally for Cancer, like, can I introduce them to my family, you know, or will they introduce me to theirs? So
yeah.
It's like, you guys, yeah.
That was anxiety provoking for me, for sure.
Like, how well will this person be domesticated, you know, by me? So Leo, it's really a lot of anxiety around getting enough attention and pet the kitty, you know, will they get their praise and attention and adoration? Will they be worshipped?
Yeah, what is that person? They may be looking to see what that person likes so they could please them and wow them and dazzle them. So,
yeah.
Now, Virgos, it's just the same way they research everything from somebody who's going to be good enough to hang the art in their home at a perfect level, you know, 90 degree. It's just like, they want to write a Yelp review. They want to read the Yelp reviews on you before they date you, and your astrology is that. Yeah.
That is true. That is true. Libras, they don't like to be rushed, so they get anxious about being pushed into making up their minds one way or another. Because when they do settle on someone, they're also not going to want to change their mind about that fully. So they will, you know, they'll string you along forever before they decide. So their anxiety is like really weighing the pros and cons. So astrology helps them do some of that advanced research before.
Plus, they also like to go on dates. They're one of the weird signs that enjoys the process of dating. So they're going to want to know, should we get tickets to the symphony or should we just go for a casual afternoon coffee walk or what? Mm-hmm. Scorpios, and we have Mars and Venus in Scorpio. So I may or may not resemble this remark. It's like, how are you going to hurt me? Let me be prepared for that so I can know the early signs and run in the opposite direction.
Wow. Yeah. I think Sagittarius, like, it really is about this like full-bodied, lusty, adventurous attraction. Like, Sagittarius have really big appetites and they are going to use astrology to see if, is this person going to be interesting enough for me and fun? And are we going to be able to like travel the world and, you know, start a business together and all the, and whoa, we just met. So, but like, yeah, they're definitely like, you got to look,
we may or may not resemble that remark too. Yes. Yes. Capricorns are probably the least likely to use astrology, but they will do it in terms of just kind of, they're, you know, some empirical data to add in.
Well, until they're not, though, because Capricorns love a system. And then when they look at astrology as like, when they're ignorant about the power of astrology and don't realize that it is a system that's backed by a whole process that can be quantified and measured and mapped to a precise moment in time. Once they find that out, they become obsessed with it. But when they think it's just this like emotional randomness, then they like turn their nose up.
No time for it. No. Yeah. They will also use it the same way Cancers do, because they're the other family oriented sign. So they also want to know, will you fit in with my community, my childhood friends, you know, who I want to have as the best man or maid of honor? They're very historical like that. Yeah.
And then Aquarius, I think Aquarius is the other secretly anxious sign. Like Gemini and Aquarius, like, seems so cool and unruffled. But then when you get to know them, it's like constantly in their heads, thinking, analyzing. Oh my God, why did he say that? Why didn't he call me? So you're like, it's a moment to moment thing of like reacting to every little thing the person does or doesn't do or said. Why did they say it that way? So it helps you stay calm and remember to just like focus on the big picture and that there's a big wide world out there.
Oh, I feel so called out. And
then last but not least, do you?
I do.
I was like, that's you, eh? Yep.
Was it? Okay. And then Pisces, our final sign. I mean, they are the givers, you know? I mean, they don't want to be left, but they will want to know your sign so they can know how to like enchant you, charm you, and win you over. So,
what spell can I put on this person so they never leave me?
So many of our listeners might be like nodding, like you and I, just be like, yep, that summarizes us to a T. And then others might be like, no, that's not me. Is it that they just like haven't seen that side, or the introspection's not there, or is there a world that, you know, it doesn't apply to everyone in a certain sign?
Well, you have to look at, you know, your sun sign is just one aspect of your astrology. It is your main character energy. So it's a very big aspect of who you are. But yet, when you were born, all of the other planets and the moon and some asteroids were hitting different zodiac signs. Really, only someone born the same minute in the same time zone as you will have the exact same alignment of planets and zodiac signs. We're 4 minutes apart and we have a tiny difference in our charts. So for example, our sun is in Sagittarius. That is the main character energy of our lives. We definitely are very Sagittarius. We love to travel. We work in media. We're outspoken. But our moon is in Scorpio. So the moon is the inner nature. Mercury is how you communicate. We have Mercury in Scorpio. All the personal planets are really the best ones to look at. The sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, we call the sun and moon planets in astrology. But those are the fastest moving planets. And they move through a sign in between, they change signs between 1 to 2 days and like about 6 to 8 weeks. So because of that, they kind of track our most personal, our interactions with people. So how you date, what you're charmed by, what you like and love. So you may actually be more heavily, you know, skewed towards one of those.
You got to do your whole chart to really know, like, there's, if you're not relating to your sun sign, there's probably a lot of other stuff going on.
And your rising sign too, which is based on the time of birth. Right. So if you know that, you could also be leading with that. But we recommend getting to know your sun sign traits, because if you're not vibing with them, then you actually might be missing some real, like an energy source that would be useful for you.
Oh.
Yes.
And speaking of Mercury, we always talk about Mercury in retrograde, which is what we're experiencing today as we're recording this.
Today.
What does that mean and how does that affect your love life?
Yeah. So Mercury is the planet that rules communication, technology, transportation, travel. So 3 or 4 times a year, it will pass the Earth in its journey around the sun. So if you've ever been in a car and another car drove by and it felt like you were going backwards, that optical illusion, that's what happens when Mercury and Earth pass each other because they travel at different speeds. So it's a little physics thing. But astrology, as we do it, is, and this is probably to clear up some misconceptions around the constellations that people might have too. Modern astrology, or tropical astrology as it's called, is based on the movement of the planets from our point of view here on Earth. So from our point of view on Earth, Mercury appears to be going backwards, the way we measure the journey of the planets. And that's what happens when Mercury is retrograde. It's creating the optical illusion of going backwards. So everything it rules, communication especially, goes backwards. Technology. Devices. You drop your iPhone in the toilet. You accidentally like your ex's TikTok when you were supposed to be looking at it. You butt dial them, or you just get confused and you start thinking about your past. Retrogrades, you know, have the prefix RE, which means to go back or to do over. So they're really powerful review periods when Mercury's retrograde. But if you find that you suddenly hear from an ex, or your thoughts start going back to an ex, or sometimes it's a time to connect with the one that got away. Other time it's like, have a little closure, or there's something about them that I didn't really fully get the lesson on. So don't be so convinced that, like, oh, see, now's our time. Like, you gotta, for those 3.5 weeks of Mercury retrograde, you got to just try it out, if anything, before you jump to a conclusion. But people can really misunderstand each other, too.
It's a good time for nostalgia, actually. You know, it's like if you are dating someone and you're, you know, like, go back to the place where you, you know, found your matching thrifted tees on your second date, and you know.
I'm so glad you brought up like what this term means, because I feel like people wildly misuse it. Like, it just feels like people are always throwing out like Mercury's in retrograde, that's why my dating life is in shambles. Like, how do you it feels don't you feel like that? Like, people are just like constantly using that as like the excuse.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
I mean, it's a great excuse. And, you know, for 3 weeks, you know, you might as well use it. But when it's over, you have to realize maybe it was you, you know, maybe it was them.
I mean, that is kind of taking us to like the bulk of this conversation. Cause yeah, people want like that quick fix. They want to know what's up. How do you kind of balance giving predictions with also like, you know, people having to forge their own way too? This is a two-part question. And then what are your big predictions?
Yeah. Well, you know, while astrologers can give predictions, I like to call it guidance instead. Because what we're really doing is giving you like a weather forecast. But we can't make you take the umbrella. We can only tell you, you know, there's a good chance of rain. You have to be the one who decides if you go out in a raincoat or if you go out unprotected. So that's how it is to interact with astrology. There's an opportunity with anything that's happening, full moons, new moons, retrogrades, to learn a lesson and grow and, you know, gain access to something that can be really good for you. or you could totally miss it, or you could totally screw it up, you know? But if you go into the blaming stance, then you're likely to miss some opportunities for growth or something.
Yeah, we kind of differentiate between there's horoscopes and then there's astrology, and both are useful. So your horoscope is what's happening now, what that's more the predictive, what that the weather forecast. Mm. I mean, it's all astrology, but when you learn your astrology, you know your sun sign, which is Cancer and Aquarius, and then you can learn your whole chart. Where was the moon? Where was Mercury? Where was Jupiter? And so that way you're learning your factory settings. You're understanding yourself as this cosmic being, and then you can actually greet whatever's coming in the best way for yourself. For example, you're a Cancer, you know, you're going to be more sensitive. Okay, here comes Mercury retrograde. You're also very nostalgic. Why don't you call your college roommate who you're still on great terms with, but not say yes to the relative who doesn't respect your space and wants to come stay on your couch because your home is really important. Like, not the time to take a chance like that. So
yeah, we base our advice on your sign. So are you wanting us to give advice and predictions for people? Or
I mean, I think we started this whole thing. We actually been chatting for quite a while, but it was like with the new year. That's like kind of your big time, right? Like what we're curious about, like, where do you see dating and relationships in 2024? Yeah. Like, maybe, you know, we're a few months in at this point, but where do you see things going?
Yeah. I like to say that love is in the middle of a giant iOS update right now.
Yes.
It started actually in 1999, I think, when Neptune and Pluto switched places. But we don't need to go back there, actually. That's a lot. But I did trace a little bit of it. But the rise of, I mean, I don't know if people who are listening have heard people talk about 3D relationships and 5D relationations. But the 3D relationship is kind of like the ones we've inherited, the what you would not necessarily call modern love. Like, let's get together and have a baby and a family and a house and a like provide for each other and go into traditional gender roles and die. You know,
and die. I love it. So romantic when you put it that way.
That's a prediction that will always come true.
Exactly. That one you don't need an astrologer for. But it's this very like linear, like we need each other to survive. And it, and you know, that came actually when civilization started to settle into farming, when we changed from hunter-gatherers who were polyamorous to hunter-gatherers, when it became about ownership and property. And that's how the 3D relationship progressed. And so since the, you know, since technology and the spiritual era has really kicked in, 2012 really kicked it into high gear. We say that we've moved from the agrarian age to the Aquarian age, and which is the 5D relationship, which is not about like what you can touch, taste, smell, hear, and see, your five senses, but like about a connection on an energetic level, like non-locational relationships. You don't even need to be in the same room or country as someone to feel like you're in love with them. You don't have to spend measurable time. You know, in the 3D pre-modern relationship, it's like, well, we went on a date and then we courted and then this and then this. Like, time is non-linear in relationships now. So astrology does chart different larger planetary things that happen that create that, because Tali was talking earlier about the inner planets, the slower moving outer planets from Jupiter to Pluto can take up to 20 to 30 years to go through a single sign. It can take 250 years to come back to a sign. And that shapes a generation, an era, the values and the ways we approach relationships and many other things. So one of the coolest things about astrology is it doesn't just predict the future, but if you look, it can explain the past, because if you look back at these cycles, you can see how all of this formed and what was happening. And then when those cycles come back around, a lot of those themes will show up again in the world. So there was a spiritualist movement in the mid-1800s when Neptune was in Pisces that has begun from 2012 to 2026. And really in 2012, that's when like yoga and juice and meditation and everything started to creep into the mainstream. And here we are 12 years later. It's like, who doesn't go to yoga? You know, you're weird if you don't. Prior to that, you were
weird. Who doesn't have a tarot deck? Who doesn't? Who doesn't pull an angel card? You know, so
relationships have become more influenced by that too. People are connecting, like looking for a soulmate, a twin flame. They're wanting to connect in a deeper energetic way with each other and feel like they're, you know, they don't feel that they need a relationship to survive. So that brings us to like, what is the point of relationships if we don't need them? Well, then we get to choose them and want them. And that's why astrology, I think, is one of the fun tools to have. We get to design that. I'm still shocked by how many people still default to the old script of 3D relationships that actually could choose something else, but they just don't know that they can. And so with astrology, we also like to introduce people to other options and choices that they could make. So it was a long answer to a short question.
But that is exactly what's causing the turmoil in dating today. It's because for the first time in a long time, we're dating, marrying for love, for connection, for spiritual connection, for someone's vibe and energy, and we don't really know how to navigate that. So how long do you think this period will last for, this iOS update? Because we've been watching the bar slowly go, and when is it going to be done?
Right. I don't think it's going to be done anytime soon.
Okay.
But, you know, there are the trad wives who may disagree, but, you know, there's no going back to analog right now unless we have a good solar flare to help us out. This is actually an exciting opportunity for people if we're able to, you know, embrace it. It's very confusing right now because before the technology age that we're in, like people stopped growing and developing at a certain period of time. So you knew who you were going to be with.
Yeah.
You're 25, you're done. You're on your path. And now we're changing every, you know, we're a different person. We might be a different gender next year than we are this year, you know? And so finding someone who can flow and evolve with you through every single one of those phases has become harder and harder. So, you know, what Aquarius, if we're going to go back to that, why we're saying this year is the true beginning of the age of Aquarius. And I'll tell you what that means. The reason why we're saying that is because Pluto, which is the outermost planet in astrology right now, we still consider a planet in astrology, dwarf and all. Really, it's a transformational planet. It's like transforms us all. It burns things down, forces us to rebuild them. It's in Aquarius for the first time since 1778 to 1798. So we're all feeling it. It started at the beginning of this year on January 20th. We had a little preview in 2023 from March 23rd to June 10th. Yep. And so now we're like, we're going to be feeling a little bit lost, at least for the next couple years as we settle into this different way of thinking.
I could guess maybe that like the kids who are born between 2024 and 2044, when Pluto's in Aquarius, when they start to come of age into dating, maybe that's when it'll kind of all kick in. I think,
so we got like 20 years.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of having to accept, you know, a term that, you know, was popularized in polyamory years ago called relationship anarchy. Whereas, you know, we have to accept relationships do not have a script anymore. And Aquarius is about liberation. It's not about control. So we're having to also realize that here we are talking about attachment issues. I'm an anxious attacher, but like we, you know, and there's a lot more anxious attachers probably right now too, because we feel out of control of dating and other people. It's dating's scary in some ways when we're coming from that template.
Well, when we get scared, yeah. When we get scared, we default to the old script. Mm-hmm. So we need to, our job in this generation of, you know, dating age people, which is pretty much all ages now, is to write the new scripts that they can use instead of the old 3D ones, I think.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners. Did you know we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week? Yep, that's right. Blue Land set out to do something about it. Eliminate the need for single-use plastic in the cleaning products we reach for the most. I'm absolutely obsessed with Blue Land for a couple of reasons. One, how they're helping the environment. Two, how convenient they make my life. And three, how freaking beautiful their pastel containers are. All you have to do is fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning products on your grocery run again. My partner was a little skeptical the other day if the dishwasher tablets would work as well as the pods we usually use, but after the dishes came out sparkling clean, he was sold as well. It's not only super convenient, but Blue Land is also affordable. Refills start at just $2.25, and you can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Did you know that the cause of health issues with so many dogs is their food? That was so astounding for me to find out because I tend to think my dog Mojo eats pretty well until I really researched the ingredients. And actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. I actually love giving Mojo this as a topper. It's like an extra treat for him. And I feel good that there are no fillers and it's air-dried, so it retains more nutrients. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits, and so can your fur baby. Go to BadlandsRanch/dateable and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/dateable today.
If you love Dateable, we have a podcast you have to check out. Seeing Other People was created to help you feel less alone and more empowered by your dating life. Hosted by your soon-to-be favorite internet big sis, Alana Dunn, an early Hinge employee, modern dater, and now a fiance, is here to guide you through whatever you're going through. And she covers the gamut of topics, from anti-dating rules, how she went from being an anxious dater to in a secure, healthy relationship, and navigating dating burnout. On Tuesdays, Alana brings on expert guests like dating coaches, matchmakers, psychologists, and more. And on Thursdays, Alana is joined by anonymous real-life daters who bear it all and open up about what they faced in their love lives and what they wish they knew going through it. Seeing Other People will help you change your dating mindset, develop healthy dating habits, and make you feel like you actually can find what you're looking for. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday.
This is so fascinating because, like, we talk about this all the time, not from an astrology lens at all, of just like how there's no script anymore. There are no rules. Everyone kind of DIY and does what works for them, and there's anything goes. And yeah, like you were saying, it's confusing. So people then resort back to rules. I'm really curious because 2012 is an interesting year that this started because it correlates with something else very, you know, I guess, timely in the sense that Tinder came on the scene in 2012.
I was curious,
like, how does that relate to what you're seeing from the astrology perspective? Because it's all...
Well, that was the last year of the dragon. We're in the year of the dragon in 2024, which is actually associated with the Western sign of Aries and the planet Mars, which is more about autonomy. It's about me. So it's interesting that Tinder started then, but it did give people freedom to be much more, this is what I want. This is what I'm here for. Let's do this fast.
Oh, 100%.
And it's also important to note that probably other apps similar to Tinder came out before then, but people weren't ready. Yeah. I think it was 2012 that people were ready for this new way of taking control of their love life.
So clearly your, you know, understanding of this has nothing to do with Tinder. Like, what was it that you could see from an astrology perspective that set this, you know, 20-year period apart?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Jupiter. So again, Jupiter is the planet of growth. And so in 2012, mid-2012, it went into Gemini. It's going to on May 25th of 2024. And Gemini is about, it's the mirror, it's twins, but not like identical twins. It's like two people, it's like a duo. So
very interactive.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So when Jupiter goes into Gemini every 12 years, which was in 2000, 2012, and now again in 2024, all of those are year of the dragon as well. The lunar years are associated with Jupiter. Hmm. So the dragon is about transformation. It's the only non-animal in the lunar zodiac. So it's like when we really like also reinvent things. So I'm hoping that 2024 pushes things forward too.
Well, there is, you know, the south node of the moon, the lunar south node is in Libra, the sign of marriage. And the north node, which is our collective destiny, is in Aries, the sign of the individual. So marriage is kind of going through this karmic fire right now. We may see some relief from some of that, like, relationship insanity on starting January 11th of 2025, when the North Node moves back to Virgo, and we're going to want more rules and clear agreements. We also, 2012 was the end of the Mayan calendar. I don't know if you remember. There was this end of the world or whatever.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to be the end of the world, but it was the end of the world as we know it. And
we really have changed, you know, a lot since then.
One of the things we predicted for 2024, if we're going to use the word prediction, is that we could emerge with some new labels for relationship. In the same way that gender has become, you know, there are some very nuanced terms that there's like, I know, like 70 or 80 at least, probably way more than that now. So we could maybe take that same approach to relationships as well. Because like,
what are those? I'm curious. Yeah. I think that's such an interesting concept. Yeah.
Right. It could be like co-parenting unmarried. It could be, called LAT, living apart together. Some of those have already been started, but there's...
I made one up, slut, separated, living undivorced together, because a lot of people are.
I feel like I know a lot of sluts then. Wow. So many concepts to grasp in all of this. But going back to this concept of restoring the age of Aquarius, and you said we had a preview of it last year between March and June. I went through a breakup right in the middle of that on May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I had a Truman Show experience during that time where I felt like, what was this life I was living and what do I want? I like stepped out of the Truman Show and thought, okay, now I'm living the life that I really want. And since then, it's been a lot of questioning of what is that relationship that I want? What do I want in my love life? And I feel like a lot of people are going through this, getting clarity on what they want. So in 2024, what are some other planetary movements that we should pay attention to in how we view our relationship to our love lives?
Well, there's a giant total solar eclipse on April 8th in Aries. And that one is about really being able to be with yourself. We have so many distractions. So we don't have to feel those feelings of, I feel lonely. Oh my God, I'm going to eat something. I'm going to cook something. I'm going to watch this TikTok. I'm going to start this crafting project. I'm going to go meet my, you know, like, stop and be. We really have to be with ourselves. We're so good. We become so good at avoiding emotions or just quickly labeling them, even anxious attachment or trauma. I'm not saying that it's not an accurate label, but
everyone's quick to label.
Yes. We gotta just like, and then there's an eclipse in Libra on October 2nd, which is a sign of marriage. That's a solar eclipse. So we may get some new, that download of new names and relationship names maybe coming in then. We're in the middle of this Aries Libra eclipse series that began on April 20th of 2023. Yeah. It ends on March 29th of 2025. So I think we're sort of in the balance point where we're like, but I do miss that companionship, but I don't want to, it comes with that.
But then on 420 of all days, we have Jupiter and Uranus, which are two of the most liberated, rebellious, don't fence me in planets, making an exact meetup. It's called a conjunction. And that only happens every 14 years. And then even more rare in Taurus, the last time they were conjunct in Taurus was May of 1941. So none of us remember that. And if we do, we were 3 years old or so, you know, so not a whole lot of people can remember that time. So Taurus is about tradition and Jupiter and Uranus are about the opposite, like blowing up tradition. So it's going to be this real
trad wives gone wild now.
Right, yeah. April 20th. Right. Okay.
Sex tapes of trad wives could be released, but it is going to be though about like, how do we bring these, how do we reconcile that? Yeah, we want some security. We want some stability. Yeah. We don't want to be in a constant state of like, can I trust this person? But we also understand that like people need freedom to grow. So how do we negotiate that key tension that I think is a big theme of 2024? If I was one of the main ones for several reasons.
I'm going to make a wild prediction that could happen sooner than we think is AI programmed devices to help us feel loved and hear the things we want to hear. Like we were just reading about how validation, you know, hits those mirror neurons and releases dopamine and oxytocin. And so being able to actually program scripts and voice activated, you know, sweet nothings, you know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this will help people not find less validation through dating if they're getting it through AI. So it could
Can
be
you
a way.
Imagine
the AI apology that you never got from your ex.
Yeah.
Exactly. You say it wasn't you. It was me. I was ready for you. You were too good for me, but I gaslit you.
And then you could write it however you want, too. Right. It's even better. This is all like blowing my mind because I think it's really like putting, you know, what a lot of daters have been feeling for a while now. And there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of shifts happen. We started this conversation with why people turn to astrology is for answers. And I'm curious, like, is there like kind of just to help people out with all this going on? Like, is there something that, you know, each sign or as a whole population can do to like put themselves back in control and, you know, predict the outcome, or is that just not possible too?
I think there's something that each sign has to maybe give up and let go of in order to enjoy love, you know, because we are all being asked to change in some fundamental ways, to evolve, should I say. Mm-hmm. And that evolution can really be liberating. But it is different for every sign. So yeah, let's just go through.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
You know, Aries, interestingly enough, they're one sign that are being asked to become more better at active listening and, you know, controlling their emotional reactions. They're very quick to either like, I want to play with what I want to play with. They need to learn how to be more cooperative and not just have it all on their terms, you know. So sorry, Aries, you can be very generous too, but sometimes it's generosity on your terms. So yeah,
I think a Taurus, we're talking about what they would have to give up or let go of a little bit. Just being right, being like Tauruses make everything very positional. You're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, you're the bad guy, I'm the good guy. These very, like, Taurus is, I think, one of the most analog signs because they rule the 3D world. And it's hard for them because that is how they're made. Like, someone has to make sure everything around us smells good and is pretty, and it's them. And so they're struggling a lot with this Aquarian age love. And yeah, so they have to really there are more than two. It's like taking things out of sides and like, let's work together. Let's coexist. Can we do that?
Yeah. Geminis, I would say they have to give up their reactivity to a lot, like Aries, because they read into every little thing and then they don't look at the big picture. So, you know, they get thrown. Oh my God, they didn't text me back. Oh, the thing, you know, like, they need to find some coping mechanisms for themselves, maybe a little cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, so that when that anxiety comes up about, they need that responsiveness. They don't give it, but when you don't give it to them, oh boy, they'll give it to you when they feel like it, but if they don't get a quick response, they think the world's coming to an end. So it's not. And yeah, they need to kind of give up that micromanaging of space, I'd say.
Cancer, not to keep you in suspense there, but
can't wait. Yeah.
I think it's this guardedness, this belief. It's probably like a belief that everybody really needs to give up. There's a belief that people are fundamentally prone to hurting or abandoning you as a Cancer. And so that you always have to protect yourself and have, you know, or that they will leave you. So this view of yourself as a Cancer, that you're going to be there kindling the home fires and people are going to come and eat at your table and then leave and take you for granted, or, oof, you know,
yes,
leave you when you've opened up and finally shown them who you are on the inside. So just recognizing that life isn't satisfying for you as a Cancer unless you do show people who you are and in your heart. So it's fundamentally risky to be human and love, but also trying not to love someone can hurt you even more than just letting yourself love them and trusting that you're resilient enough to, you know, to be all right no matter what they do.
I think Leos, yeah, Julie's like, can we move on already?
No, I'm loving every second of it. Okay.
You're a brave Cancer. Leos, plain and simple, I have to kind of get over that, you know, the idea that one person can fill their attention tanks, and that desire for that close connected attention is...
Yeah.
Beautiful, wonderful. You deserve it, Leos, but people's lives are busy now. You're not going to be the center of anyone's universe, and other people probably won't want to be the center of yours. Doesn't work in most cases now. We all have too many things on our plates.
Virgo spelled backwards is giver. Well, it's not, but it's kind of rearranged. So Virgos give and give and give, but they think that that's what makes them so wonderful and noble, but it's actually what makes them feel in control. And it's like, if I just wear this halo and make it shiny enough, I'll blind you to the fact that everything is on my terms. So, and then they'll resent people who, you know, they've given to, who didn't even ask for it. It's like, if you're going to give to someone like that, of course they're going to take it. But then right. When they get used to it, it's like, you can't be mad at them. So what Virgos need to give up is the giving and learn actually that if giving feels this good to you, then imagine that it might feel good to someone else. Allow someone else to experience the joy of giving and make yourself vulnerable and receive. So, which means giving up control and anxiety and all of those things. So Virgo, get a therapist.
That's for all the signs, but yeah, them especially.
Yeah. We all need a lot of therapy in the age of Aquarius. Yes. AI therapy coming soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and
trademark that.
Right? I'm going to go out on another limb and say that Libras are perfectly equipped for the age of Aquarius.
Okay.
Because they take their time. They love to date. They're all about the like exploration of a relationship and all its nuances. I don't know. I mean, they've been waiting a long time because they take their time. So they're always waiting patiently. the world has caught up to you, Libras. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Julie, do you know any Libras? September 23rd to October 22nd?
No, I was going to say my brother, but he's right after. So no, I don't really.
Like, I want to know a Libra.
September 23rd.
I know. No. Libra's great for Aquarius.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. If anything, I'd say with Libras, like, you know, just maybe don't spend so much money on dates all the time. Mm. You know, they could maybe.
You're dating too many people at once. Budget. Yeah.
Yeah. Make a budget.
Park or dates.
Get a Bitcoin wallet already, you know. You tend to fall in love easily sometimes and romanticize people before they deserve it. But look, you know, they always seem to bounce back. So as long as you're okay.
They have that exploratory, philosophical approach to relationships that's needed now.
We need more Libras.
Yep.
Yeah. Scorpios. Oh, God. I mean, Scorpios have really strongly addictive personalities because they get very, very attached, but then try to fight it and deny it and hide it and cover it up. So, you know, I think it's for Scorpios, it's like give up lying to yourself and pretending that you're ever going to be anything but obsessive when you first meet someone, and let the obsessive feelings just kind of have their moment. The mistake I think Scorpios make is like, I feel fanatical and obsessive about this person, so that must mean that they're right for me. Well, it doesn't. It just means, you know, you're going to have, Scorpios will have that big adrenaline dopamine rush of excitement. They need that peak experience. So, but just, you know, wait until it kind of mellows out a little bit to see if a healthier version of that can remain.
I think Sagittarians have a bit of a future tripping, idealizing, you know, thing going on too. Whereas Scorpios, it's all in the, oh, we're going to be together forever. And just, you know, Sagittarians kind of do the same thing, but in this, like, and then we'll build this and we'll make this and we'll. So Sagittarians will project very positive qualities onto a relationship and start building all these things and then get crushed. Sagittarians probably need to learn how to date and give up trying to, you know, also maybe sleep with everyone a little too soon, because your body count, as they say, could get really high really fast.
I don't think Sagittarius should give that up. Just don't fall in love with the potential of the person that you brought home from the club and probably may not even know what they look like in daylight yet.
We're 51 now, you know, so yeah, those were our 20s, maybe not.
Glad you told my age. We'll never know.
Capricorn will be putting your booty calls on the blockchain. I think for Capricorns, what there is to give up is like needing this hierarchy all the time, you know, like they're always aware of where people are on their imaginary or current food chain and evaluating people through that lens. So I think, and then putting their own credentials out and leading with that. So I would say giving up the judging the book by its cover.
Or trying to be the CEO of relationships, where you're like, you know, like it's a competition and a this and that, you know, so. Now, Aquarians, like Libras, are also pretty well adjusted for this time.
Yay.
It's like, I think if anything, Aquarians have to give up judging themselves for actually not wanting a traditional relationship. Even if it's traditional in structure in other ways, it may not be, but like, there may be some conditioning that you have about gender roles. Like if you're a cis hetero woman, I need a strong manly man, you know, like that's just like, you could be all over the map, Aquarians. And maybe you always were, but you weren't really. See, you know, Aquarians can try to cover up some of their own, you know,
unusual qualities by finding a mate who just, you know, is almost like a beard for them. So give up the beard, Aquarius. And give up the beard and own your weird.
Oh, that's, yes, Aquarius. That's a motto for you, UA.
Yes, I need a shirt that says Aquarius that.
Mantra all the way.
And then last but not least, the Pisces. They live in a fantasy world, but it's kind of fun there. So I also think that they may be a fun addition to the Age of Aquarius and help us all stay connected to our creativity, art, romance. You know, they didn't do well always in the 3D relationship world because they were always imagining things that weren't really happened. But again, back to the AI world we live in, like, yesterday's Pisces fantasy is tomorrow's app. So
that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This has been such a fascinating conversation because, you know, it's all like we started off with, like, can you predict your love life? And when you think of that, you always think of, like, am I going to get married next year? Am I going to have a relationship? Like, very, you know, more tactical stuff. And I think my biggest takeaway of this whole conversation is, like, you absolutely can use astrology to predict your love life, but not in the way that you thought. It's not going to be in that very, like, you know, I do this and then why happens, but more of understanding just where we're going as a culture, society. And it's very fascinating still how much that aligns to just, you know, what we're all seeing day to day, not knowing what was behind it. And I love that you all framed of how do you actually take control of the situation? It's by letting go. And I think we all try to find that answer. We all try to go in the right direction. But oftentimes it's getting out of our own way and letting, you know, the evolutions and the changes take their course. So I'm really glad that we were able to look at it through that direction and help people just see that, yeah, you do have control, but maybe not in the way that you thought you had control. And instead of fighting it, how do we just adapt to it and see, you know, the beauty in every sign and what they give, but also how they can kind of, you know, take a step back and start to, like, let the world we're in not try to fight it, but adapt to it.
Love that.
Beautifully said. No one can encapsulate it all like a Cancer. That was beautiful. One little tip and tool that everyone can take with them, though, is if you want to go to astrostyle.com/birth chart and put in your birthday, your time and place of birth. If you don't know your time, that's okay, but get as close as you can to it. And you will get a printout with where every planet was, what sign it was in when you were born, and your chart, and a little something to read. Look at, in the interest of dating, look at Venus and Mars, especially. Venus is your seduction style, and Mars is kind of your erotic thrust. And then that gives you another bit of information when you're out there in the wild and untamed world of relationship anarchy about who you are and what to play up. I think we all need to give up trying to be something other than who we are. Yes. And what's beautiful about astrology is it shows the nuances that you as an individual have. No one else is like you, and your chart shows you why. And so when you tap into that, you can actually embrace all of yourself. And I think that's the key to healthy relationships, and we feel whole when two wholes come together instead of two halves. As cliche as that sounds, that is what's being called for. So we're coming into this new era of wholeness and multidimensional, transcendental, Aquarian wholeness, which means we're taking into account our emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, energetic beings. So your astrology chart has the blueprint for that. And if you can actually follow that, get to know yourself and love yourself, then you stand a much better chance of finding a compatible mate or mates, because who knows where we're going from here. Yeah.
Love that.
That's so beautiful. It, like you said, it's so nuanced. And what I'm taking away from this conversation is we can think of everything we're going through in three buckets: what we know, what we have control over, and what we can do. So what we know is these are these planetary shifts that are going to be happening. We don't know the outcome. We don't know the outcome of our love lives, but we know that if we stay in sync with the planet, we know these shifts are happening. Then we have to step back and say, what do I have control over? Well, knowing my sign and knowing the nuances of my sign, I know these are my reactions, and how I sync myself to these planetary shifts is in my control. And then what I can do about it is that next step. It's like, I know that with us being in Mercury in retrograde right now, I'm probably going to be a little nostalgic. I'm probably going to have to look through some old photos, but that is who I am right now. And I will fully accept that. And what I can do about it is to say, just say it's nostalgic. Just say, that's it. You know, like there's nothing I need to do about it right now. So I love that we can have control and at the same time, leave a little bit of this unknown magic to the universe and, you know, allow things to happen in our lives. So thank you for the nuanced explanation of everything we can expect this year. And you mean for the next 10 years, really? We're getting a really great
overview. Yeah, we still got 10 to go. Yeah, 20. We got a lot of time to work on ourselves. Yes.
Exactly. Those of you who are having kids this year, really treat them well, because they're going to be setting the tone for our love lives, you know, in 10 years' time.
That's right.
Thank you. But don't let them swipe right for their play dates, okay?
So. Yeah, AI will do that for them.
Too Tinder-fied. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Well, other than astrostyle.com, would you like for our listeners to go anywhere else to find out more about you two?
Yeah, definitely follow us at Astro Twins on Instagram. And we have a book coming out in August called The Astrology Advantage.
Yay.
How to use your horoscope for personal and professional success. It's like an astrology personality test mashup. It's going to be so good. So go and pre-order that. And yeah, just we always have things coming out, free webinars, classes, books. So join our mailing list and you'll hear all about it.
Well, thanks so much for having us on. This was so fun.
That was so fun.
Yes. Thank you for being a wonderful guest. Aww.
So glad we made this happen. And for all of our listeners, why don't you give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts? Give us 5 stars. And in the body of your review, tell us what you learned from this episode. What did you learn about your sign? And what did you learn about what is going to happen for you this year? We'd love to hear what you've learned. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast and visit datablepodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.